calling on the phone someone who had just been involved in a tragedy that he had caused inadvertently, and trying to console this person. And I said, what we always say, is there anything I can do to help? His answer was, can you get me a time machine? He wished he could go back, and that split second where the tragedy had happened, he'd been able to do something else. Well, of course, there is no such thing as a time machine. A staple of science fiction, I love science fiction, H.G. Wells' book, The Time Machine, one of the most famous ones. There's others that are similar. Rip Van Winkle, kind of a time traveler, fell asleep for 20 years, wakes up 20 years later, no time had passed for him. The Christmas Carol, the ghost of Christmas past takes him to the past. The ghost of Christmas future takes him to the future. That kind of time travel there. But of course, the best one is the Wayback Machine. You know the Wayback Machine, Mr. Peabody? Am I the only one that watched Rocky and Bullwinkle? Okay, my favorite cartoon, that's my favorite one. But actually, we are all time travelers. Only thing is, we can only go in one direction at one speed, and that is forward. The only time machine we have is a clock, and that's about it. As the hymn says, time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream flies at the opening day. Well, at the turn of the year, first message of 2021, we tend to think of the future. Let's think of 2021, the future, looking at God's word as to how we can best face the future. Let's bow together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you've created us and made us creatures of time. Sometimes we're frustrated by a past that cannot be changed, by a future that is unknown, by a present that we have a hard time enduring. But Lord, the fact that you are the eternal God, the fact that you have communicated to us in your word the way to face the future, we pray you'll help us to take that to heart today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is what's known as Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. That is, he had spent 3 years in Ephesus converting people, people getting saved, establishing the church, getting people discipled and trained. And 3 years for Paul was a long time to stay in one place. I mean, he was all over the place. So 3 years he had been there. And he arranged to meet these elders, the pastors from the church at a place, and give what's called his farewell address. He says in verse 25, of that chapter, now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. He said, I know that our future holds us not being together again. It's the last time in this world I'm going to see you and that you're going to see me. But then he goes on, and these are the verses I want to look at today, verses 26 through 32. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish every one of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Number one, face the future with God's complete counsel. Did you catch that phrase? Paul said, I declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul prepared these men and their church for the future by giving them all of God's word, all the counsel of God. Now, I'm going to give a Jeremiah here. That's where you bemoan the state of things. I bemoan the state of biblical ignorance, not just in our culture, but among Christians. The biblical ignorance is astounding. People don't know their Bibles. They have to look in the people that have been saved for 10 years have to check the table of contents to find a book. That's pathetic. We don't know the stories. We don't know the teaching. We even change hymns. You got that one hymn, Here I Raise My Ebenezer. They change the words because no one's going to know what Ebenezer means. That's because they don't know the Bible. They don't know the story of Samuel and the Rock of Help. So we even have to dumb down our hymns because of our biblical ignorance. And that is pathetic. That leaves us unprepared for the future. You don't know your Bibles, you're not prepared for 2021. Now, Paul says to them, I am innocent of the blood of all. Now, he's referring back to Ezekiel chapter 3, where God said to Ezekiel, I am making you a watchman, just like a watchman on the wall. A watchman on the wall looks for the enemy. If the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not warn the people, he is guilty for the blood of those people. And that's the way it is with us as believers. We have a responsibility to warn people, to instruct people, to show people what the Word of God says. And God said to Ezekiel, his blood I will require at your hand. Paul is saying, that didn't happen with me in Ephesus. I declared to you the whole counsel of God. I am innocent of the blood of all. If you fall, it's not my fault, because I warned you, is what he's saying. Now, compare the preacher or teacher or church or ministry that neglects to warn of God's judgment, never talks about hell, never preaches Christ as the only Savior, does not warn all people everywhere to repent. And yeah, I grew up in a church like that. I went to church the whole first part of my life till after I graduated from high school. And that church never told me about salvation, never told me to trust Jesus as my Savior, never told me about being born again, never warned me of hell. I don't know what they talked about for 17 years I was there, but I never heard those things. If I had not trusted Christ as my Savior, my blood would have been required at their hands. And it's not only salvation, but the challenge to holiness as well. Believers need to be warned. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Again, Paul says, that didn't happen here. I did not shrink. I did not hesitate. I did not hold back from proclaiming to you the whole counsel of God. That means everything that God says in his word about himself, about his nature, about man's condition, about the way of salvation, about living the Christian life, about serving the Lord, all of those things. Now, it's very easy to neglect those things that go up against the standard of this age. Now, I want you to envision two circles. Here's a circle here. That's Christianity, the Bible. That's the gospel, all the things we believe as Christians. And here's another circle. That's our culture. Now, those two circles intersect. There are some parts of that circle that are the same. We believe in God, our culture believes in God. As long as you don't identify him too accurately, you can believe in God. We believe people should be good. Our culture believes people should be good. So there's parts where our culture and Christian biblical teaching intersect. But there's parts out here where they don't intersect. There's things that we believe and affirm that the world does not like. And there's things on the other side that the world believes and practices that we know to be wrong. The problem is, We like to camp out in the part where we're the same as the culture, because that way people will still like us. That way no one will get angry at us. That way we won't lose any friends, and people won't defriend us on Facebook, and we won't get canceled. Here's a quote. It's often attributed to Martin Luther, though he's not the one that actually said it. Quote, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christianity, where the battle rages, the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace to him if he flinches at that one point. Get what he's saying there? If the point where the world is attacking is the point we back up from, then we're cowards. We're not really confessing Christ. I work with a fellow who is a World War II vet, which I always admire vets, and he had been in the Battle of the Bulge. And at one point, he said things got so hot, he started running for the rear. And it says he was running to the rear, he bumped into a man. And the man says, hey, watch out, I'm an officer. And his answer was, wow, I didn't know I was that far back. Any officers here, I apologize immediately. However, if we run where the battle is hot, we're not being good soldiers. And that's the way it is with Christianity. Now, what are the present points of attack? Where is this part of the circles that don't intersect? The places where it is uncomfortable for us to stand for Christ. If you proclaim Jesus is the only way of salvation and all the religions are wrong, you're outside of the culture circle. They don't want to hear that. If you emphasize the sinfulness of man, that man is not basically good, that we are fallen and corrupt. You're outside of the world circle. If you talk about men and women being men and women and not gender fluid, you're outside the circle. And so what we get from some preachers, teachers, is just motivational messages with little of Christ, nothing of judgment. Now, I know Joel Osteen's an easy target, but it just such a good example. He was on TV being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, "Now, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven?" And why this, that. And he wouldn't give a straight answer. You know, you got to be prepared for that if you're a preacher. You got to be prepared. Yes, exactly. You said it just the way the Bible teaches. Jesus is the only way. But that's outside the circle. Andy Stanley, I mean, he says it very plainly. He says, we got to be able to preach more to the world, so we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. The world doesn't like the Old Testament, so we need to unhitch from that so people will listen to us better. Camp out in the place where the two circles intersect. Cowardly Christians scale back the message so they won't be canceled by secular culture. Now, there are parts of biblical message you may proclaim boldly with zero pushback. Okay? You want to talk against human trafficking, you can do that. The world's not going to push back, and we should speak against it. But that takes zero moral courage, to be honest with you. You want to talk against American slavery before the Civil War, zero pushback, zero moral courage required. Okay, say those things. What about the parts where the circles don't intersect? If we're not proclaiming that, we are not proclaiming the whole counsel of God. That happens when we shrink from declaring it. Who knows what in God's word is going to be offensive in 2021? Now, if you had told me 10 years ago it's offensive to say a man is a man and a woman is a woman, I would have laughed. That's offensive now to say that. What's it going to be in 2021? Pedophilia? There's already movements to make that okay. Necrophilia? Who knows? Who knows what it's going to be? But we need to be prepared to know and to declare the whole counsel of God. Read your Bible. Don't just read it, study it. Engage in the ministry of the word, sermons, Bible studies, books. Read widely. Read old books as well as contemporary books. Very important to do that. Pray for courage to speak. That's where it's hard. It's so easy to camp out in the part where the Bible and the world intersect. Once you get out of that intersection place, it gets really hard. Now, I never thought of the Apostle Paul as having any problem with being bold, but here's the prayer request he gives in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "And pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak." Paul was concerned that he was going to be a coward. I never thought of Paul that way. That's because he had people praying that he wouldn't be. We need to pray for ourselves and for one another that we not be cowards, that we not be timid, that we not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. So, facing 2021 with the complete counsel of God. Number two, face the future with careful concern. Look at verse 28. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." First, watch yourselves. Now, if you've flown on an airline, you've heard the speech many times, you know, the little things are going to fall out, the oxygen things. If there's a child next to you, what do? You put it on yourself first. First, take care of your own mask, then do the child. Why is that? You do the child first, you go unconscious, you're no good to anyone, and now you're dead weight. Take care of yourself first so you can help the child. So Paul says here, take care of yourselves first of all. Because you know what? 2021 might be the year that you fall away from the Lord, if you're not careful. 2021 might be the year that you fall into a gross sin that you never thought you would have fallen into. 2021 might be the year that you backslide and slip away from the Lord, if you're not careful. You say, well, you know, but God forgives those things. Well, yeah, he does, but it's still part of your past if you do it. Yeah, God forgives you. Yeah, there's an airbag in my car, but I don't go around smashing the telephone poles just for the fun of having the airbag deploy, you know? Yeah, there's a flotation device under your seat in the plane. I'd rather they put a parachute, to be honest with you. But there's a flotation device under your seat in the airplane, but you don't want to crash just so you can use it. Yes, you can be forgiven, But there's no time machine to go back and undo the sin that you committed. So think of your forgiveness, God's forgiveness, like an airbag. You don't want to deploy it unless you have to. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John says, I write these things so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Yeah, the airbag is there. But you know what? John says, don't sin in the first place. So it doesn't have to be deployed. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Now, he's talking to elders. If you paid attention the last year, you know how important church elders are. Pastor Larson's given some great messages on that. So it applies to our deacons, our pastor, but we can easily apply this to all of ourselves. It's not just the elders that need to watch for themselves. Every one of us needs to. That the members may have the same care one for another, 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Then I love this next phrase, care over the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now, he was talking to specific people from a specific church. There was a church back in Ephesus, and these men were the elders of it. And he says, you know that group of people that you preach to, that you teach, that you work with? That's the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. For us, it's the Baptist Church of Northville. He bought this church with his own blood. The believers here, those who are online, and maybe some folks that have slipped away from our church over the past year. You know, hard times draw some people closer. Hard times make some people fall away. But for us, the Baptist Church of Northville is what he obtained with his own blood. The word means to secure it for himself. Now, this is cool. I just saw this in the news yesterday. There's a church in Canada that has been meeting since June. And the police just came to the elders of the church. I think there were six of them, and gave each of them a summons with a threat of a $10,000 fine because the church is meeting. Now, that's 10,000 Canadian, to be honest with you, so it's like $7,854.83 our dollar. That's still a lot of money, okay? $10,000 fine. Well, the elders of this church put out a statement, and they use this verse as part of their argument. They point out, no one in our church has had COVID. It's not been traced to our church. We've tried to work with you. But here's the main point they make. This church was obtained, purchased by the blood of Jesus. By saying that our church is unessential, you are saying that the blood of Jesus is not essential. And that is the greatest public blasphemy. Good for those men. Pray for those elders up in Canada, up in Ontario. He loved me and gave himself for me. There was a transaction that was made, and we celebrate and remember this, and we take it to heart in communion a little later. Jesus died on the cross for me. He purchased my salvation by taking the punishment that I deserve for my sin as my substitute. And he did that for each one of us who know Jesus here. That's why this group, us, the Baptist Church of Northville, was purchased with the blood of Jesus. So he owns me. I am bought with a price, and he owns this church. If you know Christ as your Savior, he owns you. And since we're all part of the same deal, and we live in the same place at the same time, we, right here, right now, are the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, if that doesn't make you feel secure for 2021, I don't know what could. We are the church of God, the church of the living God. Jesus Christ is building us, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Now, we have every reason to feel secure. But back to our point, verse 31, be alert, stay awake, stay watchful, because, verses 29 and 30, your future will include people who attempt to draw you away from the Lord. He doesn't say maybe. He says maybe there'll be some wolves out there. He says there will be wolves. There are those who will try and lead you astray. He calls them fierce wolves, which reminds us of the words of our Savior, where he said, watch out for false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous, ferocious wolves. Now, picture this. Picture this. You're out in the woods, and you're confronted by a pack of wolves. This just happened in October to a man in the state of Washington. He was out checking his trail cams, and all of a sudden he sees a pack of wolves. They start snarling and showing their teeth at him. What would you do? He shouted to try and get them away. That didn't work. They kept approaching. Thankfully, he had his rifle with him. He shot one in the chest. The others backed off a little bit, and he was able to escape. And the sheriff's department encouraged people, if you know how to use a firearm, take it with you when you're going into the woods. There are fierce wolves. Now, if that man had not had his firearm, what would those wolves have done to him? They would have torn him to pieces. Now, I don't have an experience like that. One time I was camping out with Christian. We're up on Chimney Mountain, and I heard a coyote. Not a wolf, a coyote, okay? The only one I've actually seen in the woods ran away from me. But still, I start thinking, how am I going to explain this to Barb if I come back alone, you know? I mean, that's going to be pretty bad. So my son is sleeping next to me there. He was okay. But I keep thinking, I didn't have my carry permit yet. I got a jackknife. So I haven't got my jackknife out. Now, the wolf was probably on a different mountain altogether, or the coyote probably on a different mountain altogether. But you know how your mind works, and you think the worst and everything. Oh, that was kind of scary for me. But imagine it was really wolves, and they were really right around us. That, Paul says, you are going to face in the future. Not a maybe, a definite thing. He says they will not spare the flock. Just imagine that pack of wolves tearing into a flock of helpless sheep. Now, what are these ferocious wolves that Paul warns about? What are they going to do that's so bad? You know what they're going to do? They're going to teach falsehoods. They're going to promote lies. They're going to try to get you to believe things that are not true, to do things that are not right. They're going to try and teach you that Jesus was not a real man or he wasn't God, just an angel. They're going to try and teach you that salvation is not by faith alone. They're going to try and teach you you can ignore the Ten Commandments because Jesus did away with the law, all these kind of things. These kind of lies have been taught to lead believers astray, and they are deadly, like sheep being torn apart by a wolf. Therefore, he says, be alert. Have an adequate firearm if you're going out in the woods in the state of Washington where the wolves are. Back to the first point, we need to be armed with the whole counsel of God. Now, there's other dangers besides false teachers. There's all kinds of temptations, so be ready. 2021 will include dangers to your soul. 2021 will include threats to your spiritual well-being. Be ready. Face the future with a careful concern. But we don't want to end with that. Number three, face the future with confident commitment. Verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Face the future with careful concern, but don't live in constant fear. Don't be craven. Follow up here with a strong word of confidence. He expects the future to include challenges, but he does not expect them to fall. He expects them, committed to God, to stand and be victorious. I commend you to God. The word commend means to entrust for safekeeping. It's the word that Jesus used on the cross. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Same word. You are entrusting for safekeeping God's hand. So Paul is giving them to God to take care of them because Paul's not going to be there anymore. He said, I'm not going to see you again. This is the last time in this world we'll be face to face. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. And I commend you to the word of his grace. Again, the word of God that communicates to us the saving grace of God. And you know how to spell grace? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. You don't earn it at all. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. That is God's grace. We are alive together with Christ because he loved us. By grace, you have been saved. And now, look at what the Lord and his word can do for you in 2021. It is able to build you up. Now, honestly, don't you sometimes feel weak, helpless, hopeless? Do not discount the power of God to make you a better person than you've ever been in 2021. Do not discount the power of God to give you victories you never had before in 2021. Do not discount the power of God to cause you to bear fruit like you never thought possible in your life in 2021, because he is able to build you up. That means to make you better. You ought to end this next year more like Jesus, more fruitful than ever before. So give yourself and let's give one another to him who is able to do that. So first, he's able to build you up. Secondly, and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now let's break that down and figure that out. Who are these people who are sanctified. Who are all those who are sanctified? The word simply means all those who have been made holy, have been purified. In other words, people that are saved. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you're justified by faith. All your condemnation is taken away, and the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life to make you more and more like Jesus. And you have an inheritance among those, forgiven, changed, and then completed in glory. So every person ever saved by Christ is this group he's talking about. All the apostles, all the early Christians, all the Christians through the years, your godly parents and grandparents, whatever it may be. You have an inheritance among those people if you are saved. And what is this inheritance? Well, this speaks of the eventual and definite future. It is what we are destined to possess, what we're going to eventually get. Eventually, here's what you will get as a saved person. You will get a resurrected body. Your body will be raised from the dead and made like unto Jesus' body. All traces of sin will be eradicated from your heart. I'm looking forward to that, let me tell you. Every trace of sin wiped out of your heart and out of your life. You will be with your loved ones who died in Christ. We will be with one another, and thankfully, we'll be fixed. So those Christians that you have a hard time getting along with, they'll be fixed and so will you. So it'll be great, believe me. You won't have to avoid one another in heaven. That's going to be great. And we will be with the Lord Jesus in glory forever. That is what we are destined to possess. God is able to give you that inheritance among those who are being made holy. So here we are. We're time travelers, right? Going in the future at the same rate, all of us together. Into 2021, face the future with God's complete counsel. All God's word, all the time, for all circumstances and issues. Face the future with careful concern. There be wolves out there. Don't doubt it. Watch yourself and watch others. Don't let 2021 be the year that you crash and burn. And thirdly, face the future with a confident commitment and trust yourself and let's entrust one another to the one who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Now, we can't go back, we can't skip ahead, but we can travel together to an uncertain future with the certain promises of God. Amen? Amen. Let's bow together. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much that you, the eternal God, are with us, that our future unknown to us is known to you, that the dangers and the blessings that are ahead in this coming year are not a surprise, but Father, we can commit ourselves and one another to you. So may 2021 be the year we have victory like we never had before, we grow like we never did before, and we bear fruit like we never thought possible. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.